it's called in the UK, to the home, and many of their daily interactions were actually televised. And they taught us all a lot, with probably more to come along these lines around the world. Right? One would hope. School Days is prepared and engineered here in KHSU's Del Norte studio for the KHSU magazine by Susan Andrews, school psychologist for the Del Norte County Unified School District.
Oops. Okay, right button. Thanks to everyone who contributed to today's KHSU magazine. Thanks to my guests, Louis Hoyland from the Arcata Interfaith Gospel Choir and Fernando Paz from the HSU Latinx Center. There's a concert this Saturday with a gospel choir at the Presbyterian Church at 7 p.m. More information at AIGC.org. Support for KHSU comes from the Arcata Artisans Cooperative Gallery, offering locally made art, crafts, and a large selection of cards. This December, the gallery is having its winter all-member group show titled 27 Shades of Green. Artist reception is Friday, December 8th from 6 to 9 p.m. Arcata Artisans, never not local. Learn more at arcataartisans.com. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Art Waves with Wendy Butler.
Thank you for tuning into KHSU and to Art Waves. I'm Wendy Butler. Two interviews today. Later in the program, I check in on Del Arte's second-year MFA students' character projects. I've got an interview with three of the student participants. The performances are this Thursday, December 7th, through Sunday, the 10th. First today, Humboldt State University's Theater, Film, and Dance Department presents Bert V. Royal's Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead. The play continues performances this Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. with one matinee performance at 2 p.m. on Sunday. All performances are at HSU's Gist Hall Theater. HSU Assistant Professor Troy Lesher directs the play, and he is one of my guests. Also here are HSU Theater majors Maddie Glee, who plays the role of Trisha, and Sammy Stowe, the costume designer. The play has been described as an unauthorized parody of the Peanuts comic strip. While it does have humor interlaced throughout the play, it is more mature subject matter, and it's for ages 16 and older, and it does not begin comically. The lead character, CB's dog, has just died.
Well, indeed, the death of the dog sends him off on this path, questioning who he is, questioning the world around him. So arguably, the dog is sort of a closing of a chapter, a starting of a new chapter on his own. He doesn't have his white dog. And yes, it was a close relationship, but now he sort of has to fend for himself even more.
And there's a scene in the show where there's two characters kind of explicitly discussing what does it mean when this thing that you thought defined you, his relationship with this dog that, you know, he mentions that all of his friends used to love so much. And it's like, you know, what is he without that defining feature? And I think that several of the characters deal with a similar sort of journey throughout the show. And so I think, as Dr. Troy said, the dog was really kind of his last grasp on that original feeling of the community that we're familiar with. And I think once he loses that kind of final tether to the past, it's now he has to go forward and confront sort of this new world order in a way in his social life.
Yeah, his new identity now that his dog's... And on one hand, isn't that sort of what life is about, that even in moments of adversity or we have loss, that can really propel an individual to grow in a new way or start questioning new aspects of their life or their perspective. So that sort of there's a silver lining sometimes, even in death or loss.
Sammy, you are the costume designer. And so I, of course, am imagining the costumes that we're probably all imagining just based on our memories of the Peanuts gang, which this is a different play. How are you approaching the costume design? What visual are we going to be treated to?
So I think some of the conventions that I wanted to keep from the comics were bold, bright color, for sure. I think we did not lose any of the color from the world of the comic books. And I also kind of wanted to play on the idea of relatively simple silhouettes and textures, but, you know, they're dressed like pretty contemporary young people. So they're wearing, you know, skinny jeans and kinds of clothing that, you know, people would wear. I'm a fan of when clothing looks like clothing and these characters, but it's definitely a different play on their traditional costumes. So I took color from each character in the comic. So CB has his yellow, Lucy has her blue, and all of that. But it's sort of in a new or more updated way. And also a couple of pattern elements too. Certain characters who wear stripes in the comics, they have an element of a stripe in their costume.
Trisha is best friends with Marcy. They're two peas in a pod, kind of like they were in the comics. And so pretty much every single scene that I am in, Marcy is also in.
Well, you said like they were in the comics. So Trisha is based on Peppermint Patty.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcia's based on...
Marcy is Marcy, but still spelled differently.
So there was a Marcy in the original, and there's a Marcy in this. It's just
the spelling they changed to make it work.
Yeah. But the I don't remember Marcy from the comic strip.
She was the one in yellow, wore big glasses, kind of followed Patty around, and
nerdy,
was like, "Sir,
very smart." Yeah,
it's coming back.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so let's talk more about Trisha. So Trisha's friends with Marcy.
Yeah. So they're. Best friends.
Okay.
And then CB, there's not a lot of really big communication between CB and Trisha in the play. What I kind of feel was like she was friends with him, but she was kind of indifferent toward him. It was just kind of like, oh, hello, like, that sucks what happened to you, but I'm living my life. Like, it's my life's going okay. So, and then, yeah, I feel like she's a little more selective with kind of who she hangs out with and who she likes, but she kind of tolerates everybody in the core group at the moment.
Is she searching?
Yes. Yeah, I think she's searching a lot for who she is and what she wants in life and what things that she's okay with herself being. Is things that I've played with for sure.
And Trisha's definitely, exploring sort of sexuality as well as appearance and popularity and what it means to be cool. So likewise, she's also filled with lots of those insecurities. In the story, she's very critical of another Peanuts character who never appears in our play, but you may know Wendy. The character is Frida.
Curly
hair.
Yeah.
Curly red hair.
She was always like, I have naturally curly hair.
Right.
Yeah, that's how she'd introduce herself.
Trisha illuminates, her own insecurities by sort of picking on this other person to make her feel better about herself and her appearance. So some of that competition for attractiveness and popularity.
Well, I want to ask you this, Troy, is when you sat down or stood up with your cast and started the rehearsals for this, did you come into this with a preconceived idea of what kind of characters you wanted to see on the stage in front of you?
Absolutely. So there are 8 characters in the play, and I guess there's a scale of extreme with some of these characters. And it was really important to me. Some of the characters are so artificial and inauthentic as people, like Trisha or Marcy or even Linus. And that creates such chaos in CB's world that that's what fuels him to also go on this journey in addition to the passing of his dog. So, yes, we sort of have some characters that are really big and over the top and obnoxious from the Peanuts gang, which is great. And then you have some characters that are a bit more grounded and have indeed made some progress when it comes to accepting who they are and not be worried about having to be fake or artificial or construct some fake public persona.
Director Troy Lesher. Also here are Sammy Stowe, costume designer, and actor Maddie Glee. The play is called Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead, and it's on stage at Guest Hall Theater this Thursday through Sunday. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. You had said, Troy, in some of the promotional material that this is a learning opportunity for HSU theater students.
That's right.
And so I want all of you to talk about how this is a learning opportunity for you, you know, what you're discovering about yourself, your capacities, your challenges, frustrations. Let's start with Sammy.
Yeah, this is definitely a learning opportunity for me. This is my first kind of solo design experience. I kind of got to do it on my own. And so I learned a lot in that sense of just the process of being a costumer and what that entails in the artistic process. I think working on this show specifically, I really got to work with Cass and a fellow group of designers that we all kind of got on the same page pretty quickly. I think this show touched a lot of us in similar ways. And I mean, this show really has kind of touched me. I think specifically it's helped me. I've been reflecting a lot on just kind of the way I construct my public persona, because that's something we were talking about is identity. And so not in just that, I've been learning like when I need to turn my paperwork in and what kind of stuff a costume designer actually has to do to make a show happen. But also in that, I think as an artist, I think this show has kind of had an impact on me. I'll tell a little story really quick. In high school, I did You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, which is the musical, of course, with the traditional Peanuts gang. I directed that production. And so it's been really special getting to revisit these characters in a completely kind of different light, almost as I've grown, you know, from high school to college now. And so, you know, there are aspects to our show that are sad, but I think there's also a lot of humor and lightness that we explore as well. And so I think that was what kind of got me excited, was the idea that we got to see these characters sort of explore these new parts of their personalities and stuff in an amusing way, as well as sometimes a heartbreaking one.
Maddie, learning experience. I wanted you to talk about that.
Oh, okay. So learning experience, this is the biggest role that I've had at HSU so far. And I feel very lucky to have been part of this process, because it has been such a great process from everybody involved. Designers were really passionate about it. All of the actors, it's an ensemble piece. So being able to work in an ensemble where it's not just tight on stage, but we're all very close off stage as well, was a really great experience for me. And then just learning how to work really well as an ensemble member, I feel is very important for me as an actor, because I love ensemble pieces. I think they're very good. One challenge that I did face, however, was trying to make Trisha bigger and more and larger than life. Like, she is, she holds no punches. And so that was a challenge for me, is really trying to harness, like, how big is too big? And still, like, I'm always working to try to be as big as possible. And, you know, I learned a lot through working with her, as I had to do, like, some soul searching of myself, because it's like she is going through a lot of her own issues and she is dealing with stuff. So it's like, what is she dealing with? And, oh, do I have those, you know, am I going through that stuff as well? So it was like connecting with her on deeper levels than just I am her character and she is me physically. It's like, how am I connecting with her deeper?
How about you, Troy? Was this a learning experience for you?
Absolutely. Every time I direct a show is a learning opportunity, a new story, a new set of challenges, new complexities. Comedy is hard. You know, every time I direct a comedy, I remind myself how hard it is. Comedy is especially hard for student actors, I think, to sort of, I was talking to somebody the other day about sort of walking that line of big choices, but also finding truth and vulnerability. But yeah, I when I choose a place for us to do it here, Humboldt State, that's the first thing I look for is this going to be a good learning opportunity for our students? I want to set my students up for success, whether it's the cast or the designers. It's also important to me that I choose stories that our students, HSU, really want to tell. Obviously, motivation's a big part of any learning experience, and so I really try to think of stories that are going to get folks on board, and they're going to be excited to go on stage every night and share this powerful story with audiences.
Well, finally, from all of you, what would you like audiences to take with them from this production? What would you like? What would be, you know, it's the holidays, you know, what sort of gift do you want to give them? Well, Sammy.
It's just, the reason we're giggling a little bit is this is a question that Dr. Troy asks us that we wrote on a piece of paper before the show started. We were asked the same question, and we talk about this question in classes and stuff. And I think for me, from my work on this show, what I would like audiences to walk away with, I guess, is maybe reflecting a little bit on how they put themselves out towards others in the world and how that has an effect on others. I think sometimes it's easy for us to get wrapped up in our world and forget that our actions, you know, do play out in other people's lives. And how can we kind of just be conscious of that as human beings?
Maddie?
I think it's very similar to Sammy's. You know, reflect and like kind of question yourself who you are as a person and what you encompass and how you want that to have an effect on people, like Sammy had just said. But also, are you comfortable with that? And, you know, are you still trying to figure stuff out? If so, that's okay. It's okay not to know who you are yet. It's okay to still be wondering, you know, and it's never too late to try and change to be what you want to be.
And Troy?
Yes, and sort of to piggyback on what Maddie said, I think this story is all about truth and identity, the authentic self versus the artificial self. And I hope audiences reflect on that a little bit. And one of the questions that was really important to me is, how can I be more patient with those who have yet to discover their authentic self? We certainly put pressure on folks sometimes, and when in fact, maybe we all just need to be a little more patient and let people, let their life take whatever course they want to, like CB in this story, and that's okay. And sometimes it just takes a while. Sometimes it takes forever for someone to really tap into that inner truth and that authentic self. So it's good to be patient, I think.
Troy Lesher, director. You also heard from Maddie Glee, who plays the role of Trisha, and Sammy Stowe, the costume designer. The play is Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead. It continues performances this Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m., with one matinee performance at 2 p.m. on Sunday. All performances at HSU's Gist Hall Theater. The play is suitable for audiences age 16 and older. It's a dark comedy with strong language and adult material. For tickets, call 826-3928 or visit centerarts.humboldt.edu. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. The Character Projects is the culmination of Del Arte's second-year MFA students' investigation into how the physical actor transforms into a character. And that transformation shapes a new play. The performances are this Thursday, December 7th, through Sunday, December 10th at 8 p.m. at the Carlo Theater, Del Arte, Blue Lake. My guests are second-year MFA students and performers Alfredo Aguilar, Catherine Cesars, and Brandis Thompson, who answers first.
We started with images. So each week we would pick a different image, and that could really be anything. The image that resonated the most with me and that I chose to create my final character out of is oil. So what does it feel like to move like oil, to have that be my inspiration for all of my physicality? And then from that, what changes does that make in my mind that brings forth the physical and emotional life of the character?
I totally wasn't prepared for that. because I was thinking about changing into another character, not into an inanimate object of some kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, that's what's really exciting is how starting with something inanimate like that becomes a character. So maybe the first time where I play with oil, it doesn't look like a character. It looks like this thing rolling around on the ground. And then how does that organically and naturally evolve into a character? And that's what our work has been.
And with this character, are you going to be using any sort of costume?
Oh, I was just working on my costume before I came here. Yeah, we all have different costumes. Some of them are maybe more transformative in that, you know, maybe they really change the shape of your body. You know, they evoke the world of that character. So we'll all be in costume.
But the power of it, mm-hmm. or the authenticity of it, is not reliant on a costume. It's reliant on you, your body,
yeah,
your gestures.
Yes, yeah.
Will you be speaking?
Yeah, I think all of us speak. I speak very little, but I do speak a little bit. And my character has a voice, but in the scene that I'm doing, she doesn't speak a lot.
Let's move over to Catherine. Same question. What's yours?
Yeah, the transformation into this particular mask for me is it was a little bit of a different process. We were working with images for a long time, and that wasn't really kind of my way in to find out how to develop a different mind, a different perspective that is not my own, to feel in a rehearsal setting that I am away from myself and free in that other person. So what I found with this particular character was, I'm trying to think, her first thing was that she was in relation to this boss who was a mean boss who wanted her to work for hours for free and had unrealistic expectations, and she came out through my voice in this funny little voice, and then she developed from there. Yeah.
So you are developing into another female,
yes,
person.
Yes, another female person.
So you are animate. You're an animate object rather,
yes,
than inanimate.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you choose another, a human rather than an object?
Oh, well, for most of the work with objects, it still becomes a person. Mm-hmm. But it's a way of taking our mental state into, as performers, as the actors in performance, to another place that is not our habitual rhythms and patterns and gestures, so that we aren't recognizable as we would be in our everyday, and instead we appear to be thinking and behaving differently. So, yeah.
And so you chose another woman who was very much not like you. Is that, I mean.
Yes, it was, for me, it was that she spoke differently. And then I found these yellow tights that made her legs want to just dance around and be wild. And I was listening to disco music and funk, which made me I found that she was just like bursting. And then I thought of my mother listening to the radio in the 1970s. And I started to put pieces together, and her kind of situation started to come alive as well.
And Alfredo.
Yes.
Same question for you.
Yeah, my character is based on a mother lion. That's the image I depart from. So this is this mother lion that suddenly became or turned into a sort of criminal. He's a man at the end, even if I began my work with a kind of a female image. At the end, my character, it became a male.
A male lion?
A male human being. A male, a person, a man. A man, he became a man. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, there are some features that I rescued from this image, this mother lion, such as the walk, such as the voice, probably the view, the way he looks at things sometimes. And so at the end, this man becoming a sort of criminal, as I was saying. So he commits a crime, and at this moment, he is just trying to get rid of the evidence. And that's what he's doing on stage, basically.
These characters are turning into stories. There are stories that are coming as a result of becoming these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Is that basically it? Mm-hmm. Or like with you, with the idea of the mother lion and then the transform, not only is it your transformation into the mother lion, then that mother lion is transforming into a human.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, it's just continuing to go. And then all of that becomes a kind of a story. Do you interact with one another on stage, your characters?
No.
We don't interact with each other, but there might be like a couple of, how could we say, collaborations. So what I mean by collaboration, just to find whatever word, is that we may use others' bodies in order to create maybe an effect, or in order to maybe create an image, or to like as a completion, or like to complete an idea of what the story is about. Like, for instance, my character uses a dead body, carries a dead body. And it's not just like a bunch of sacks, a sack of pillows, right? So it's actually a partner of mine. She helps me and she plays dead. And I just carry her weight. Like if I was just playing and dancing with a dead body, but she does not speak, she does not interact with me. And it is me. Like if I was working with an object, but with a body, a dead body.
The challenge of the assignment, we've been told, is how to create and complete a dramatic arc with just being alone on stage.
Mm. Yeah, the focus is really, what is it just to be on stage? Mm-hmm. And then, so with this project, as our first one in the second year of the program, we are by ourselves and we create the thing on our own.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big challenge of this character project. Mm-hmm. Like how we get to know a little piece of the life of a character. So it's not the whole life. It's not a whole line. Mm-hmm. We don't get to really know one character, but we know like a little piece. Like if we were watching throughout a hole of how you call this, of a door where you put the key.
Like a keyhole?
Yeah,
keyhole.
Exactly. Yeah. Like if you were watching on that side of the door to the other side, just to see what is that person doing. It's just a quick moment.
Mm-hmm.
Alfredo Aguilar, Catherine Cesars, and Brandis Thompson. The Character Projects, appropriate for ages 12 and older, are this Thursday, December 7th through Sunday, December 10th at 8 p.m. at the Carlo Theater, Del Arte, Blue Lake. For more information or tickets for these Pay What You Can shows, you can phone 668-5663, extension 115. Or you can visit delarte.com. That's Art Waves. Join me for the next regular broadcast, Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. You can listen anytime online at khsu.org. You can download podcasts of the program from iTunes. I'm Wendy Butler. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Bebop, the cool school, hard bop, 60s Blue Notes, The Young Lions. If it's straight ahead, you'll hear it on Gone Sides. Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 right here at 90.5 KHSU, your jazz station.
All right, so let me ask a question. Why does this keep working? What would I have thought? Would I have believed it?
So which one was it?
What were you thinking when you saw this?
The question that you just asked, Jed, is probably the wrong question.
How do you know?
Really? You literally?
You do. And why are you there exactly?
But what if you were good at it?
And how did he meet her?
What did they do?
Is there something about their brains?
Why?
Why?
Why would? Why? Why would?
Why?
Why?
Why? If you've got questions, the answer is
Radio Lab.
Tuesday evenings at 7 here on KHSU.
Внимание, говорит радиостанция «Голос Америки». Слушайте экстренное сообщение.